Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another uplifting edition, Andy, of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope you're doing well. Thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, David, and of course to all of our other wonderful patrons who make this possible and allow us to continue our group therapy sessions on a, well, in this case, bi-weekly basis. First, we had Genoa. Now we have this Coppa Italia. Exit Andy. I don't know what people's expectations or what their appetite for this competition was. Obviously, we all know. The silver star continues to loom. The possibility of a silver star, which once they win it, I can't imagine Roma would take more than 5 seconds to add that to the crest. But anyway, that's a different discussion for her. I hope not too long. But anyway, they crash out. They lose 2-0 to Inter. And just a, I don't know. I don't want to say tale of two halves. I think it was more a tale of maybe a tale of half an hour, maybe Roma were good for. I mean, Andy, those first 20 to 30 minutes were, I mean, they were lucky to not be down 3 or 4-0. Lucky. Mm-hmm. And it could have been much, much worse. You had Luis Patricio. He had a masterclass. I know that probably won't get discussed much. You had him pulling off saves after all three. Now, usually with Roma's defense, we've seen all of them not be on form at a time. It brings me back to, if anybody remembers, there was a trifecta of Bordiso, Mexes, and Juan. Juan was the only one who was good of those three consistently. Oh, man, and then you had Mexes and Bordiso go in between.
Yeah.
Having the shit seasons and the good seasons. If everybody remembers the Scudetto season, I believe that was the one where Mexes was on the bench a lot more. Because I remember that, if I recall correctly, after Luca Toni scores that goal, Mexes is on the bench and goes to celebrate with him under the under the Cordova. But anyway, great memories. I'm trying to recall that as much as possible. But
that's 12 years ago, man.
Yeah, please stop. Yesterday, though, we were greeted with the sight of all three being shit, Andy. All three. Ibanez was terrible. Smalling was horrible. And Mancini was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
To what degree each of the three were horrible, I guess we could debate.
I actually think Mancini was the least horrible. So that tells you a lot.
I was about to say, Mancini definitely was the least horrible of the three. I would say Ibanez was probably the worst of the three. I just can't, first
and
off.
Kumbula was the best after he came on.
Yeah. So Ibanez he comes off at halftime, which tells you probably what Jose Mourinho himself thought. But I guess that's the first place to start with. Yes, they got demolished in the first half. The second half, they had so many chances. And really, I think those first 70 minutes really summarizes well and perfectly encapsulates this Roma, where mental lapses costed them. They have so many goal scoring opportunities, yet they can't find the back of the net. I think I've said in our Patreon group chat, I'm more impressed by how they don't score goals as opposed to had they buried half of these that they missed. I mean, I'm more impressed that just by Andy, by the law of large numbers says the more times you do something, the odds of you completing that or doing something successfully are heightened, obviously. Mm-hmm. But not for Roma. I mean, Roma defines even the law of large numbers, where the more opportunities you give yourself to score goals, the more goals you will score. Not them, though. I have never seen Roma like this just glide into goal-scoring areas, yet have no idea how to get the ball into the back of the net. It is mind-numbingly, head-scratchingly painful to watch unfold.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between the two teams lies in that goal by Dzeko. You know, the ease with which Inter get the early lead. And afterward, you know, Roma, I actually think that for what it's worth, Roma did put in a decent shift yesterday. After those first 15, 20 minutes of complete Inter dominance, you know, where they hit the crossbar, but Rui Patricio makes an incredible save. The pressure is constantly on Roma. After those initial 15, 20 minutes, I thought that Roma did exactly what I would expect them to do if when I asked them to play hard. I thought they did play hard for what it was worth.
For
the opponent that they had in front of them, they did play hard. If you compare this game to the previous game against Inter, it's night and day, meaning the level of effort, the level of just the team being on the pitch. The team was on the pitch. The problem is that Inter make it look extremely easy. They completely dominate you in those opening minutes. They basically let you know they are the much better team. And then they handle it. Did they have any major difficulties? I don't think so in handling us. Were we dangerous? At times, yes. But again, if teams know that we're so fragile that we can get in your six-yard area, we can get in the penalty box with ease, but we don't know what to do with the ball after that, then teams will start to absorb what we have for them and will basically interpret us much more easily. They'll read us way before we step on the pitch. I think that was the case yesterday. I always had the sense that Roma are trying their hardest, and meanwhile Inter are just comfortable. They're comfortable. They don't need to do too much. And I thought that was the second goal beautifully captures the gap in quality between the two teams. One team extremely confident, a roster that is much stronger than Roma's, much more experienced. The quality is there. Meanwhile, at Roma, it's a bit more inconsistent. And I thought it was a bit unfair to see. I thought, because I think that the moment that second goal came, that's when Roma were really starting to get their footing. There's really started to do a lot. The bulk of the work, it was them doing it. And again, Inter just take the ball, score like that, just to reaffirm who's boss, whose house it is. I never had the feeling that Roma could truly shock anybody in this game. Never. I may have thought, oh, maybe we could draw, maybe it's possible to level it, but I never had the sense that, oh, this team is gonna, they're completely gonna overturn this result, dominate Inter both physically and psychologically. No. This team is fragile. We all knew it. That's why I also think that this is not a game that provides you with a lot of new insight. I think, once again, it's football. It's not rocket science. It's football. We know what this team is made out of. That's why I also say that I was pleasantly surprised in the fact that I did not see this team completely vanish off the pitch. They did a lot of good things. They did a lot of bad things. But they were present. They stayed. And it's sad. I know. It's sad because you can see that there was a clear gap between the two teams. Again, one was comfortable. The other one wasn't. And the other one, it's like comparing it because we are. I saw a lot of people, oh, maybe we have to get used to the fact that we are a top 10 team. I mean, if you look at Roma's history, in the history of the Roma, is that conclusion too far fetched? I mean, being a top 10 team has been Roma's theme for most of its history. This is not a club that has been able to stay up there for years and years. Sure, we've had a few good runs where we ended up second, third, wonderful, but there is a difference. You can feel it. Yesterday, I felt it. I felt that Roma were never at home. You know, when you have those games where the opponent plays away, and all of a sudden the home stadium all of a sudden feels like basically when Roma went to Stamford Bridge, right? Mm. And that it felt like they were playing at the Olimpico instead of London. That here, no, here it was clear that these are the hosts, these are the guests, and the hosts are not too worried. Never had the impression that Inter were sweating. I never had the impression that Inter felt threatened, because this Roma is just not up to it. It's not. Again, I don't expect this change to happen overnight. And again, I see people say, oh, but then it's the same old story every season. Well, it's not, because there has been a lot of changes, and it's allowed, it's okay to have a season where you have all new personnel, you have a lot of different elements. You're trying to figure it out, yes, for the nth time, but you're doing it for the nth time for a reason. And so I'm not panicked. I'm just saying I wasn't surprised, okay? It's sure, it's disappointing to come here and say, you know what, the winning wasn't really in my plans, but it really wasn't. It didn't feel like this was a game where Roma could do something. It just didn't. They worked really hard for what it's worth. For their own potential, I thought they put in a decent shift, but it just wasn't enough against a much better opponent.
So I think really that's the big talking point from it. I know you said you're not drawing too many conclusions for it, but you know, after results like this, I guess I can understand the need to panic and sort of, I mean, I forget which tweet it was to, but when I tweeted out the result from the Roma Press account, some guy did like a reply with what they should do in the transfer market in the summer. And it was like, Veretout out, this guy out, that guy out. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like the first thing that comes to your mind after this? Like, this was the one where you think to yourself, oh, you know, Veretout really needs to go. Now, that might be the case. You know, somebody like Veretout might have to leave, and obviously there's changes that need to be made. But I guess it just shocks me as to the varying degrees, I suppose is maybe the way to put it, of expectation where, you know, you and I, yes, I thought they would finish top four. You never thought that. But, you know, we've obviously resigned ourselves to, not that this season is lost, but it certainly... We've accepted,
it doesn't go,
I guess,
beyond,
the inevitable.
It doesn't go beyond a certain level. It's not like this is, it doesn't feel like this is a season where Roma can achieve something special. I don't feel it.
Yeah. And in fairness, this one person who made that tweet, and I'm not doing it to criticize them. They were one of those Mourinho accounts. So maybe this is one of their first experiences with Roma, not really, I guess, encountering these sort of results or performances and not being used to it. And in general, listen, Jose Mourinho, in his last, 12 years? I mean, I don't know where this stacks up in terms of disappointment, even within his own mind. I would be very curious to hear what he thinks about all this, because everywhere else he's been, it's always the expectation is win, 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 and win immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And
not
now,
here. No,
yeah,
I don't
right.
feel it. No.
Right.
I don't see it.
And
him.
Now he's having to cope with, I mean, drastically different, not even results, that's a given, but expectations, situation. This is not a guy who is used to this situation. So I assume if we're suffering, I can only imagine the way he feels too. And mind you, this comes out the day after where he's welcomed back to San Siro. They give him like a silver plaque. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's more or less brought back to, I'm sure the
place where his legacy was essentially cemented. Yeah.
Right. He's brought back to the place where he achieved history, mm-hmm. absolute history. And he's brought back there, reminded of this, and he's having to watch his team really, I won't say struggle, because again, there were moments in the match where they certainly imposed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they, of course, didn't take advantage. So he's having to watch his team. And let's be clear, too. I mean, we were dealing, Andy, with an Inter that was not, I mean, I won't say they were decimated, but they definitely were not putting out their strongest 11 even. They were using a bit, I mean, they had D'Ambrosio at the back. So you weren't even dealing with an Inter that was at 100%, but that doesn't matter. I don't care about that. But what I am saying is I really do think, and maybe more people will have their eyes open to it. But when you have a result like yesterday evening's, okay, I just feel like people, some of us here, like you and I, we have one set of expectations. But then I guess I'm just surprised at the degree in which others have their set at. And I suppose I'm trying to understand where this disconnect is, because I'm not saying Roma are bad. I am in no way saying that they're a terrible team. I, like Mourinho, I think the table pretty much this season says everything about the team that needs to be said. I think the table is fair in Serie A. Of course, there's a refereeing decisions, and there's no need to even get into that anymore. But I don't think that you can really make the case that Roma should be top four right now. Should they be challenging for top four? Of course. But should they actually be in the top four?
No.
I would be hard-pressed to find anybody who would agree with that. So I guess I'm trying to understand what is sort of like the middle ground, A, and B, the path forward. You can have one group of people who think that after just one, it wasn't even one full summer with Jose Mourinho and Thiago Pinto, because you had so much clearing out of garbage that you had to do. Now, for the most part, they've gotten most of it gone. Still slight work to do. But really, I mean, there's still even work to do on that front. Okay, so I guess going into this summer, because this season, I think everybody is now resigned. I don't know if you're still holding on to top four hopes, but can this be the podcast where we say, just let that go now? I mean, I know it's February, but I don't think we're breaking news by saying you can let that go. Although I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. If anyone was much more optimistic than you and I are, which I would never want to dash that in them, because if you you support this club, I mean, the more optimism you can bring to yourself, the more credit I, of course, am willing to give you, because it does take a lot to watch this club. But in all seriousness, I guess I'm just so amazed at how varying these expectations are and the degrees in which people believe this team is at. And I think that has something to do with how some of us view some of these players and how we deal with some of these results. Like in our patron group, there's a lot of people who still think that, like, you know, I'm trying to think of a name, like Zaniolo is, I'm not saying he's bad, but there's some who, you know, they wouldn't sell him for any amount of money in the world because he's just that important. And I'm not saying he's not important, but what I am saying is, okay, well, he's here. Yes, he's one of the strongest players in the team, but this is so much more about individuals. And I feel like when I see those tweets where people are telling me, well, if we do this in the summer, that in the summer, you sell Veretout, you sell Zaniolo, you sell that guy, like, that totally just misses the greater point in all of this. And I guess I'm just confused as to how we have some people thinking this way, and then we have others thinking that way.
Right.
It's almost like you're watching different, like a different sport sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, expectations are indeed different. I guess a lot of people feel like there is, you know, a secret ingredient that when you find it, you can basically turn everything around, and, you know, oh, you find the ideal starting 11, and that's when you start winning games, and, oh, it's enough to take off this guy and replace him with this guy. And I really don't think that's the case for Roma. I also think that with time, Jose Mourinho has realized that you'll start to notice that in his interviews, he's not taking a crap on his players every day.
Yeah, I was about to point. I wanted to mention that too, because I think 3 months ago, we all remember that famous post match where he really had to go at the bench.
Yeah, Venezia. Yeah.
Yeah. I think even he himself has resigned to the idea guys are just not as good as I thought.
Yeah, he got the memo that this is not, you know, this is not the place that you probably thought you were coming to, or this is not the place that you might have gone to in the past. This is a new chapter in your life. I think he's understood that this is what he can get from these guys. That there is a learning part of it. There's a progress. There's some guys here are worth keeping and will we'll develop, we'll keep developing, but there are also limitations that go beyond this season, and for me it was pretty clear that once you hand him a 3-year contract, you are telling him this is not win now. This is get this team in shape, get this team to where you would like for a team to be, for a team that is known to, you know, to not have won anything in years. Get them there mentally, physically, whatever, get them there. Get them ready for it, for that kind of competitive attitude, because they don't have it, and he's realized it. I also felt the same yesterday when he was speaking, that he recognized that this team was going up a giant in comparison, a team that has won, that has already won. Inter have won. Inter are winners. Inter have made considerable steps forward. The Inter are ahead of Roma in terms of project, in terms of names, in terms of money. They are ahead. We're not there yet. And I thought that yesterday it was just a coach understanding it, knowing that, oh, I can ask these guys only this much, and they were able to give me this much. And that was it. As a spectator, as a viewer, I also felt it. I when I was looking at Roma, I was, oh, you know what? It's not... I knew that what they were showing me on the screen was exactly what Roma could do with this material, with these players, with this attitude. This is their peak against a team like Inter. In this moment, this is the maximum they could have done. And that includes all those mistakes, all those mischances, because that's part of the team. This is what they do. This is who they are. So I never had the thought of, oh, you know what? You know what the problem is? The problem is that you don't have Pellegrini out there. Or, oh, you know what the problem is? The problem is that you don't have Maitland Niles out there. No, I see a lot of, from fans, that's okay. But I'm also seeing a lot of, you know, journalists that come out with these, you know, with these great philosophies. Oh, you know, Vigna is no good, so you should have played this guy instead there. Or how about we play with Mancini as a defensive midfielder, because we really miss the regista. Sure, everybody at Roma knows it. Thiago Pinto knows it. Jose Mourinho knows it. So it's not exactly like there is a secret ingredient and the club still haven't found the recipe for it, you know? This is it. This is what you have. Yesterday was what they could give out there at the San Siro in those conditions. You move on. I understand. It's a pain in the ass every year to be here in February, and you're basically scrapped already two competitions. Now your attention is shifting towards the Conference League until you get blasted from that competition as well. So now I assume everybody's on board with the Conference League. Everybody's...
That's good. This is the irony is of all ironies.
Good to go. Yeah, it is. But that's the... And that's, you know, that's been the most consistent part about this Roma in recent years. It's been that you can count, you can bet your ass that by the, say, we're recording today, it's the 9th of February. By the 10th of February, you're out of two competitions. I'm pretty sure that that's been the case for the last few years. Two competitions, you're out. Ideally, you're still in one. And that's the, unfortunately, that's it. But and it shouldn't, I don't think it should discourage anybody, at least within the club, because these are still lessons worth learning from. Look at us, look at them, look at what Inter did in these over these last few years. Look at us, you know, look at the state we are in, and look at how comfortable they played yesterday. With even though we were trying our hardest, that should send a clear message to everybody, management, players, fans, that was the difference. The difference was that evident. I don't think there is any secret ingredient, any trick, any magical number that can basically change the outcome, the development of the season overnight. I think this is what we have to bear with up until the end of the season. And then you have to start drawing conclusions also from games like these. But that's when you draw those conclusions. Because right now, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to give a balanced judgment. Because I was seeing, you know, when we played against Genoa on the first leg, I was seeing people say that Felix is the next, right. I don't know, Samuel Eto'o. And now Felix is no good and runs like a headless chicken. That's basically the opinion. That's not healthy. That's not good. I don't think anybody is doing it at the club.
That doesn't benefit anybody.
No, it doesn't. And they know it. The players, the management, they know it. They know that, look, certainly there are players there that are starting to, you know, to wonder what their place is in the team next season, if there is a place for them next season, and are they the part of the problem? Because some of these players that we see, they've been here longer than others, and it's time to put things into perspective and see, oh well, what's the common denominator? How do they perform in these kinds of games? How do they perform when the pressure is on, or when you're facing a really tough opponent, or where, you know, a play occurs where you'll end up 1-0 down within the first 5 minutes? What happens then? I think those are questions that everybody at the club is asking themselves, and that's why I think it's better to keep these judgments, to keep these opinions still to yourself until the end of the season, then let it all out, see what sticks and what doesn't. But this is the reality of it. I think that yesterday, again, was a team that was trying really hard, a team that did not give up. They could have panicked and basically played the entire game like they played those first 15, 20 minutes. But they didn't. There was something that propelled them to maybe some sense of pride, something tactically that worked that before it didn't. But they didn't give up. That's important. The other important thing is that's the maximum they could deliver, and probably that's the worrying aspect that everybody's thinking about.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Before starting any renovation project, take the time to plan meticulously. Assess the customer's needs, budget, and timeline to ensure a smooth and successful renovation process. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Yeah, so I'm not even in the mood to remotely preview the Sassuolo match. Not that I don't care, but I'm almost at the point where it's not throwing in the towel for the league, but it's really difficult to get excited.
Is there a break afterwards, or am I hearing correctly?
Oh, is there? That'd be lovely. Hold on. We have to investigate this.
I love breaks, but... Hang I on. Just overheard.
No. We have some time. They play the 13th. So on Sunday, I swear, these timings, like with this TV schedule.
Yeah.
An 18 at night for Sassuolo Roma, because that's going to draw a lot of eyeballs. And then home to Verona, away to Spezia, and then home to Atalanta.
Oh, God. Again? Jesus. Away, how many times?
Away to Udinese, and then derby on the 20th of March. So there's no break, my friend. Buckle
wow, that's
up.
That's very
this
intense.
This is going to be exciting. Okay. When does the Conference League resume? That has to be in a few weeks.
I think this is the least prepared podcast.
I know. That
everybody Believe else not, has these things, you know, pinned on the wall. I don't even know where we play. I don't know what.
Okay,
you know.
Hold on. Here we go. I'm looking. It looks like it resumes on the 17th of February. Roma are not.
But we don't play then. No.
No, because they are. This is, of course, the
group
that
we are lucky. So, yeah, we are the lucky ones.
So these
are
the teams that are coming from Europa League that are facing the teams that finished second in the group. So
yes, like our friends in Bordeaux, the oil drillers. Yes,
so that should be fun. Yes. Marseille.
Hope all the oil drillers have a nice trip wherever it is. Hope you have a nice trip.
Because you said that, our friend Tor, who sends me unsolicited emails, which Tor, please don't stop them. The trolling that you do is...
Yes, it's next level, man.
It is next level.
If you can give us a shout out from a stadium that you're going to visit, I don't know, in Afghanistan or Kazakhstan or wherever for your nice Conference League fixture in mid-February, please do.
Yes.
Be greatly appreciated over here.
Well, yeah. Well, I wonder if he will be visiting Scotland when our friends again at Bordeaux they go to face Celtic. So I'm assuming it will after that round a few weeks later. The Conference League resumes again. The fact I'm even muttering those words and we're here in February, March, having to even think about the competition is really in and of itself a massive L. But oh well, it is what it is. Not that I'm going to bring myself to say it, but somebody in the group chat yesterday said, if Roma finished eighth but won the Conference League, how would you view the season? And we have to end it on this because this was akin to being asked, John, would you prefer being kicked in the left or the right testicle? I mean, I don't know. A loss is a loss is a loss. okay. I thought about that before coming on here because I thought to myself, okay,
right.
Conference League, how would that be viewed? Now, it's still better than the Banzai Trophy, which Roma rightfully get trolled over quite often on social media channels. That image of Florenzi hoisting that thing will forever be ingrained in my memory.
Yes, I think in his too.
Yeah, his too. I really don't know how I would view a Conference League trophy in addition to finishing eighth. I don't know where they got eighth from, but that would take...
Well,
I want to know what that would look like from a league perspective as far as performances go.
Right.
You know, tell me to take off April and May then if that's what you're...
I think it's a bit akin to saying, well, John, you'll have to spend some time with your mother-in-law, but... You can cut the visit short by watching The Godfather Part 3. So it's probably better. It's still a movie. You still sit there and kind of enjoy young Andy Garcia. You don't have to spend all the time with your mother-in-law. There is some kind of satisfaction, right? I mean, that's you end up eighth. Yes, you probably have to get used to the trolling of Lazio fans and Fiorentina fans if there are any but ultimately you still have something to show for your season, right? So you can still come away from Godfather Part 3 and say, oh, you know what, today I watched the movie, which maybe you can't on a normal day. So
okay, but in all seriousness, would forget what the league league table looks like. Would what level of satisfaction would a potential Conference League trophy bring to you? Because that ultimately is what it comes down to, is how you internally view this trophy.
I would probably laugh if it happened initially. Then I can imagine already the photos. Jose Mourinho in the stadium with the fan base, you know, the first team to win the Conference League. Can you imagine that? Roma being the first team in the history of the sport to win the Conference League with Jose Mourinho at the helm. Then he can say he won 26 and a half trophies in his whole life. I mean, I think that then the laughing turns into clapping and into bowing, because that's, you know, that's what you have to do when Jose Mourinho wins with your club, I guess. And
bend the knee.
Yeah, if that happens, that happens. I mean, imagine the way he sounds now and the change that a trophy would bring. He would turn into a whole other being, you know. He would sound so confident, so full of life, you know. He'd be absolutely taking a crap on every single journalist inside that room, anybody that doubted him, anybody that said anything about him during this season. He'd go after them. It would be incredible.
Oh gosh.
It'd be kind of like Mazzone, you know. Mazzone, when he runs to the Atalanta fans, you know, with the when Brescia scored, and he runs to them, he, you know, with the fist bump, you know. That's it. Kind of, I would love that. I mean, that'd be Jose Mourinho winning the Conference League. Isn't that a sight to behold?
Oh boy. Okay. All right, everybody. I can't think of any other way to end this. So let's end it there before this really gets off the rails. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. We will chat with you next week after the match against Sassuolo. So we will chat with you then. Ciao.
Ciao.